Save big money on everything at Menards. Take control of your outdoor space with Roundup, Weed, and Grass Killer. The Pump and Go container is ready and easy to use. With the Pump and Go sprayer, you don't need to mix your own liquid, and you get up to 10 minutes of continuous spray. Save big on Roundup, Weed, and Grass Killer. Plus, check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. The Burt Show.
How's everybody doing?
Doing pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. There's a bit of a pause there.
Well, because I couldn't tell who you were looking at. You don't want to stomp on somebody. So you were looking at Abby, but then you looked at me, but then you looked at Cassie. So we're all like, which one of us is supposed to answer first?
All right, let's try this. Are you ready?
Yes. Uh-huh. He's turned around.
How you guys doing today?
We're doing great!
Yay!
I don't know. You looked at me and you asked, but I couldn't tell if you were joking or not.
I am not joking. How are you today?
You know.
Yeah, getting by, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you know how it is. Life is life. And yesterday was Monday. All I do on Mondays is work. I wake up and I come here and then I work on my podcast for 15 hours. And then Tuesday I go... And I can do other things.
Monday is survival day.
Monday is survival.
Survive in advance to Tuesday.
Okay.
How about you, Cass?
Good.
Yeah.
I'm fine. You know.
Well, that's news with you.
Yeah.
That's just big news.
Just the use, you know, the children not sleeping through the night. But besides that, honestly, no complaints.
Strange question. Did you eat yesterday?
I did eat. The hunger is coming back a little bit in like appropriate amounts. So I'm on a new Zepbound. It's a GLP-1, kind of like an Ozempic. And yeah, I did eat yesterday and I've been using a tracker to make sure I'm getting enough fiber. I have a new concern though, because this is probably way too much this early in the morning, but I haven't pooped since Saturday.
Yeah, I had a lot of people hit me in my DMs yesterday about that to tell you. They weren't sure if you were going to respond back to them, so they had warned me to tell you about that. And it can become toxic. It can be very concerning, so you obviously are on top of that.
Well, I don't know. I thought I was. I'm a once-a-day minimum gal. Sometimes, too. Oh, God, this is way too much information to be sharing. But, yeah, so... Well, stay tuned.
I think it's important for those. I mean, GLP-1s are so popular here now that I think it's important for you to say, like, what you're going through when you start taking them.
Do we need to start doing a constipation countdown here in studio? And every day we're like,
yeah. 4 days since the last PM.
Poop watch 2025.
At what point, how long do you go before you go and you call a doctor and you're like, how do I get this out of me?
Let's Google.
Well, today I'm drinking my morning coffee, which I'm hoping will kick it into action. But if it doesn't today, I'll probably take like a Colace. So I thought I read those don't work now.
Which ones?
Colace.
The one that I read was Pepto-Bismol.
Okay, well, I'll check Colace out then. I'll do that. But if I can't, because I've been doing pretty good at getting my fiber in, a couple grams short, but I've made it a priority to do that in water because I knew this might happen, but I dumbly thought that would take care of it.
Yeah.
So I might be getting some extra help. And then if that doesn't work...
Okay. You should see a doctor for constipation if it lasts more than a week.
A week?
A week.
Oh, that's so uncomfortable.
We can get some Miralax in you by then.
Yeah. Think of how much weight I'm going to lose, though, when I do that poop. Oh, my God. I'm 5 pounds down.
No, if you don't weigh yourself before and after that one, I'm going to be so mad.
I will. I haven't weighed myself yet. I didn't even do a starting weight, which I... like kind of regret, but also I didn't want it to be about the scale and the weight and the pounds. So,
but you should just for like your own like tally in your head.
I did. I ordered one of the scales with the body mass things. I mean, I know it's not hyper accurate, but it would give me like enough of hopefully a trend. So I can track it that way and some measurements and stuff.
All right. Tomorrow morning, we're going to cut some serious lines of Metamucil in here. You are snorting first thing off the bat.
Hey, okay. I'm on my phylum fiber. I got it.
We'll get some Activia, too, for good measure.
No, I got the pure stuff, man.
Yeah.
Oh, you got pure, a hookup?
Yeah.
Did you get your Metamucil for Columbia?
No label. It's pure fiber,
man. It's not cut with anything?
It's not cut with anything, dude. Kristen, how are you?
I'm doing good. I am oddly, and you could call me crazy, that's totally fine. Oddly looking forward to going to my son's school this afternoon to decorate his door for Paraguay.
For Paraguay. Okay, why is that?
Well, because they're doing, it's Hispanic Heritage Month, all right? And the pre-K class got Paraguay. And so I am decorating their door, and I've bought some stuff. Teachers got some stuff, and I'm a crafty person. That's one of the, I don't know if there's such a thing as a crafting gene, but if there is, it got passed on from my mom to me because she's extremely crafty. Like, she can... As far as doing that kind of stuff, she's fantastic. And I like to think I'm half decent at it. So I'm going to be over there today putting together a door of a country that I didn't even know was landlocked till yesterday.
I've got to be honest with you.
You learned more about Paraguay than your son did.
Absolutely. 1,000%. My goal is to make sure they know a little bit about it as well.
We were in studio the other day, and I pride myself on going to South America quite a bit and Central America and seeing the world a little bit. Paraguay has never, ever been on my radar. Never even been. I don't know one thing about that country.
Well, I'll be
able to tell you. I've dabbled all around it.
Okay. Well, you ask me whatever you want tomorrow after I put this door together, and I got you covered for your next trip to Paraguay.
Okay. I kind of feel like it's the Mississippi state of South America. Yeah, you know, it's part of the conference, but you don't really pay attention to it.
They have capybaras.
What's that?
Those little brown fuzzy capybaras.
Okay, that's cute.
Yeah. And cowbells, apparently.
And what?
Cowbells?
Well, because Mississippi State has the cowbells.
Oh, sorry.
I gotcha.
It's a joke that didn't work out.
That was a deep cut.
We're on the B-side of that album.
Cassie, Lori here wants to talk about your poops. Hey, Lori, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, you got some comments about Cassie's poops? The concern for her poops?
Sure do.
Okay.
All right. Feel your pain. It, stay away from Pepto-Bismol. That will stop you from going. I, too, suffered. I was on 21 days.
What?
What? Come on now. 21 days.
Yes, it was horrible. Horrible. So... best tips I can give you, make sure you drink a lot of water, increase your fiber and your protein. Protein was key for me. My eating habits were horrible. I would not eat enough. And once I learned to eat protein, especially in the morning, it gave me such a kickstart. It kickstarted my metabolism. And once that got moving, it really helped tremendously.
All right, Lori. Yeah. Lori, really quick, girl.
Yeah.
Probiotic and prebiotic.
Okay.
Probiotic, prebiotic. Got it, Lori. Great advice for Cassie. But girl.
Yeah.
Girl.
This is where I was going.
Oh, that's to know. Y'all is nasty. After 3 weeks.
Like you've never done
tell
that.
Tell me you weren't thinking about
no,
it.
After 3 weeks, after 21 days... What did that feel like?
Oh, I thought...
I know.
You were going to ask for a weight measurement?
I thought you were going to ask what did it look like. No. How big is it?
We don't want to know that, but the relief must have been extraordinary.
I just want to know, like, the emotion of finally being able to, like, release those demons.
Oh, my God. It was just god-awful. It was like no one in my house could speak to me because I just wanted to rip everyone's face off.
Yeah, well, that's leading.
That's leading up. Yeah. I'm talking about the moment.
It was not pleasant.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just that, oh, my God, my stomach felt like so flat afterwards. It was just,
21
but
days.
I would say probiotic, prebiotic.
Gotcha.
Together, it just helped so much. It was awful.
All the biotics, every biotic you can take.
I'm just going to snort bacteria along with the Metamucil.
Damn, 21. Let that wash over you for just 1 second.
I don't think about it.
21 days of not pooping.
That sounds miserable.
That thing had to be the shape of her entire colon,
right? It was just like a cast. Seriously? It just kept coming. No, have you ever seen those viral videos of the people who unclog the pipes and the stuff just keeps coming out? Oh, my God. After breakfast.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
It was a harsh reality sitting at dinner this weekend in Charleston with my mom, my brother's fiance, and her mom. And I realized that my days of being the favorite golden child are coming to an end because at some point they will have the ultimate trump card that makes them the favorite side of the family. And that trump card is having children. And this sentiment was reflected on the New Heights podcast this week with Jason Kelsey, Travis Kelsey, and Deion Sanders, where Jason Kelsey revealed that he is only the favorite child after Travis had the golden child status for years because he has the babies.
First of all, y'all parents rank y'all. Y'all just don't know. Okay.
No, for sure. Mom's always had Travis number one. I do know.
Listen, and right now, mom has Jason number one because he has kids.
That is true. She has said that. She has made that comment. She's put some pressure on him.
But what you waiting on, though? So what you waiting on?
He's waiting on that wedding, that big blowout wedding with T-Swift.
Yeah, it was a while ago that we had my friend Chris Domino on, who has two daughters, and he told us straight up, like, he will tell his kids who's in first place this week. He's got two daughters. And he's like, I just want to let you know that you're number one in the standings this week. But you can make a run, and you could be number one by the end of the week, but right now you're number two.
Mm-hmm. And here's where you can make improvements if you want to, like, you know, eclipse your sister and take the top spot.
Uh-huh. It's incredibly refreshing because my parents also ranked my brother and I, but they didn't have to tell us. We just knew. Comments that are also being called refreshing are comments from John Cena, who recently vocalized that he doesn't have kids and doesn't plan on changing that anytime soon. So he's previously mentioned in the past that he doesn't really have the time to be a great parent because he's living his life to the fullest. He's currently married for 5 years. He's been married for 5 years to a 36-year-old engineer and says that they share the same values when it comes to family planning. So John recently doubled down at a convention in Boston. He said, I'll give you a small insight into my life. I've been working straight for 43 days now, and I've got another 20 to go. So if I were to bring a life into this world that needs environmental nurture and unconditional love, I also know that takes time. And I've been blessed with some great opportunities. Life has awarded me the chance to do some amazing things. And right now, I want to seize those opportunities. So I don't want to make an irresponsible choice and bring a life into the world that I will neglect. I don't think that's fair.
Good for him for speaking out. For a lot of people that are just like, they feel like outcasts when they tell people that they don't want to have kids. Like, that's not even natural. I still think it's more acceptable for a guy to say, even in 2025, than a woman. But look, let's give this advice here. When somebody tells you that they don't want kids, don't try to talk them out of it. They know themselves better than you do. So that's not something you can be talked into. It's a little bit too important.
And I think as somebody who's been on both sides of the coin, I think when people hear somebody say that, I find it refreshing. And I applaud that honesty and that self-awareness. Mm-hmm. I think that's most important. But when somebody says that, I think people's knee-jerk reaction, not all people, but some people are like, how could you value work over bringing a child into the world? What could be more important than, you know, bringing life into the world? But it's like, you can be fulfilled in so many different ways, and that doesn't have to just be children. Like, that could definitely be one way, but if you love your career and you are passionate about what you do, and whether that's, you know, through film or art or philanthropy, like that, I mean, some people are going to find this hard to believe. That can be just as fulfilling, if not more, than having a child for some.
And here's a guy that is on the road, you know, when he was at his peak, was probably on the road 300 days out of the year, right? Mm-hmm. So he's looking at his life and he's like, this is my priority right now. This is who I am. So I think he made a responsible decision. But again, if this was a female wrestler saying the exact mm-hmm. same thing, I wonder if the impression would be the same. Probably not.
Never. Yeah. Never. Yeah. But I mean, here's the thing. It's very cool that we live in a time where we get to have that choice to either have kids or not. Like, it's only been like, what, the last 60 years that birth control has been available to the general public. So the fact that we even have the choice to make those decisions for our lives is pretty incredible. And so I think we should celebrate that rather than being afraid of it. Jon Bon Jovi is sharing his thoughts on his son, Jake, and Millie Bobby Brown becoming parents. These are some young parents right here, but they've lived a lot of life, and at the ages of 21 and 23, they decided to adopt a baby girl. And on the latest episode of the Dumb Blonde podcast, he described the experience as crazy but great and wonderful.
And what's it like being a grandpa?
Crazy but great, wonderful. They adopted a girl, and we met the baby, obviously, and you know, immediately that becomes your grandchild, you know what I mean? Your baby. So it's beautiful. I want to see pictures like every other day. I'm that pain in the butt guy already. And yeah, so it's cool. And you know, our son Jesse and his wife, they're going to have a baby. So suddenly it's a shift again.
I think that's the perfect way to describe it, because I think a lot of people think, oh, if I adopt a kid, it's not going to feel exactly like it's my baby. But mm-hmm. the second you get that kid in your arms and mm-hmm. you look into their eyes, that's your kid or that's your grandbaby.
I know this is a twisted thought, but I literally have never heard anybody say that my parents were way better parents than they have been grandparents. Everybody always says, oh, my parents, they weren't that great with me. Where were they? But as grandparents, they're fantastic. I've never heard it the other way around.
No, I am in an algorithm where people my age, so I'd say like Gen X, maybe elder millennials, grandparents are very hands off. And I have seen those complaints that the grandparents aren't stepping up and they are not participating, and that when they have the opportunity to see the grandkids, they prefer just to like live their life and do their thing really? Rather than participate as grandparents.
Huh, I haven't seen that.
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah. There has been a shift, and I've seen several people online mentioning that there has been this shift of where they're just focused on their life and don't have time for the grandkids.
It could not be my family. My mom is chomping at the bit. She's like, where's the grandbaby? Where are they?
The Burt Show.
I had the moves put on me at the Burt's Big Adventure benefit, the Avalon Noon Tonight fashion benefit, and can't believe I completely friggin' forgot to tell you guys about what happened backstage.
Well, you did look pretty hot, I'm gonna tell you.
You know what?
You looked very, very pretty.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Ingrid for beating this face. My dress is from Anthropology. I had like my track in my hair from J. Gold Salon. I was doing that thing on Thursday night.
Times have really changed when you could thank somebody for beating your face.
Yeah, I know, right? I love my Mua. All right, so we are backstage at the fashion benefit. And for those of you that don't know, our Avalon Noon Tonight fashion show, all benefits Burt's Big Adventure. It's there on the boulevard in Avalon and Alpharetta. It was a beautiful night, a record-breaking night. Y'all donated over $155,000. Like, wow. That's just insane. We, like, so far eclipsed what we raised last year. We hit the $100,000 mark for the first time. We hit six figures, and, like, Thursday was just incredible.
Did Molly at my house yesterday say something about going over $160,000?
We're actually at
$161,000.
Yeah. We're actually at $161,000. But the picture we took as of that night, the picture of all the kids holding up the numbers, and we got it in the right order this year, we're just sticking with 155.4. It was kind of a big deal that we actually got all the numbers, because I remember last year they were trying to like piece it. It was hilarious.
I actually missed that. I missed the grand total because I was in the bathroom. Yeah. I was peeing.
That tracks. That 1,000% tracks for you. So I got partnered with Liam, and Liam absolutely stole my heart, as several of the kids did on this past trip.
That kid loves you. He is like a magnet to you.
And I absolutely love and adore him. So he and I had some special moments in Disney this past February, and so he and I got to walk the blue carpet together. And prior, they have like a kid area, and they have like these activity boxes for the kids, because it's a long day and they got to keep the kids like occupied, and because, you know, they're kids. So I'm in the kid area, and I'm with Liam and his family, his mom and his dad and his sister and his grandma. And I was like, things have evolved, and I always ask for permission and consent to kiss anybody on the cheek. So I asked Liam, because we were planning, we all planned how we're going to pose at the end of the runway, right? And Abby, I know you and Maggie had like this cute little, like, what you guys, how you all were posing. It was adorable.
We had a routine.
Yes.
I was like, girl, Tyra Banks is in the audience. We got to go.
I loved it so much. So, and Liam, he is taking everything in. He's very observant. He's very aware of his surroundings, but he has minimal communication, mm-hmm. right? And he suffers from seizures and a condition that I can't even begin to pronounce. Therefore, I am not going to, but just a sweet, kind-hearted kid that is very aware of his surroundings. So I'm talking to him and I'm asking if I can give him a kiss on the cheek, and he gives me that big old smile and he's like, yeah. Aww. I get mom's consent. Mom's like, absolutely. So there we are backstage, and I'm talking to Liam, and you know, we're about to walk. I'm like, all right, buddy, so this is the deal. So we're going to get to the end, and I'm going to kiss you on your cheek. Okay. And I go, hey, do you want to kiss me on the cheek. And he has like this big smile. And so I turn my cheek for him to kiss me on the cheek so we can practice, but he doesn't do it. And I was like, okay, that's fine. Like, he doesn't have to. And then I turn and he kisses me on the lips.
He went right in. He goes in.
The lips? The lips. So this kid, I swear to you, and the look in his eyes and his face, he was like, And I was like, yeah. Little player you. It's like he was waiting for me to turn my face so he could plant one on me. And I completely forgot to tell us. I was cackling backstage. And I was like, all right, I'll just kiss you on the cheek when we get to the end of the carpet.
I feel like this isn't the first time that this has happened to you.
He totally pulled a move on me and I didn't even see it coming. Oh my God, it was so cute. But our videographers and photographers did such a fantastic job. Like, you have got to check out at burtsbigadventure.org. If you need a smile today.
Mm-hmm. You need a smile every day.
If you need a little injection of joy, because there are so many, we get crap for our open mouth smiles. There are so many open mouth smiles on that blue carpet because everybody was just feeling the joy that night.
The Burt Show.
All right, Abby, lead us into yo gossip.
Yeah, Frida Kahlo wasn't just any painter. She was the painter. She was the type of artist to turn tragedy into self-portraits that could knock the wind out of you. But if you Google her partner, Diego Rivera, you'll see he was also a famous artist whose mistakes fueled her artistic genius.
Hear ye, hear ye. Come forth, all Instagram baddies and crypto bros, for the most salacious gossip in the whole village.
Abby's done the work to bring you
the old gossip.
Our main character is baddie Frida Kahlo. Frida meets this guy, Diego, when she's super young, shows him her paintings, and he's like, whoa, you're really talented. And next thing you know, they're married, which just proves the old saying. Every genius woman goes through that one phase where they think, sure, he looks like Shrek's uncle, but maybe I can fix him. So Frida Kahlo's partner, Diego Rivera, was a little bit of a cheater, which is already crazy because this man looked like a thumb that lost a bar fight. Like, imagine Jabba the Hutt with a paintbrush, and still this man is getting side action. So Frida Kahlo, meanwhile, was over here inventing surrealism out of sheer pain, painting masterpieces with one eyebrow. And Diego was out here in the streets like a raccoon in heat. And listen, this was not a one-time thing. Diego was cheating so much, I'm surprised his frescoes weren't just murals of excuses like, this is the wall of infidelity commissioned by the Mexican government and my wandering libido. The worst one, though, was that he cheated on Frida with her own sister. Mm. Her sister! Imagine your man sneaking out on you. And when you go looking for him, he's not out at the bar. He's at your family reunion. Diego didn't even try to hide it. He was a 300-pound man stomping around Mexico City like, shh, be cool, she won't notice. Bro, you're not discreet. You are a walking red flag with a mustache. And Frida knew. You can tell she knew because she put it in the art. She pours her soul into a painting of betrayal. And Diego, being the absolute genius that he was, goes, wow, whoever hurt you must have been a real jerk. And she's like, yeah, he's standing in my kitchen eating a tamale right now. It blows my mind because Diego wasn't just cheating. He was bragging about it. He called himself a quote unquote devoted lover of women, which is not a compliment. That's a Yelp review for a bed bug infestation. But here's the thing. Frida also had affairs. She was like, fine, two can play at that game. And she did, not just with men, but with women, which honestly is the ultimate revenge. So Diego would cheat and she goes, okay, I'll just hook up with someone hotter and more talented than you. Oh, is that Josephine Baker? Don't mind if I do. Meanwhile, Diego's like, I still slept with your sister. And Frida's like, cool, I slept with Trotsky. That's not revenge. That's a checkmate. In the end, though, Frida did stay with him on and off, which proves one thing. Love makes you stupid. Even Frida Kahlo, Frida, was out here painting self-portraits with thorns in her neck going, yeah, maybe he'll change, but let's be real. Diego never changed. He was a serial cheater, a selfish guy, and somehow still managed to get two of the most legendary women of the 20th century. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why history is written by men. Because if women wrote it, Diego would be remembered, not as a muralist, but as the original Tinder swindler.
Isn't that the truth? Well done. Well
nice. Done. Happy Hispanic Heritage well Month, everybody. Well
Happy Hispanic Heritage Month.
We have a couple of minutes here, Kristen. Follow up on that elderly dude on your street that everybody's concerned about.
Yeah, so the neighbors are working together to make sure he is taken care of. So in case you missed this story yesterday, Bart was walking the dogs and found an elderly gentleman like on the ground, like obviously in distress. Turns out he had fallen, hurt his shoulder on his way to the grocery store to get something to eat because apparently he had no water and electricity on in his house. And it's a long story about, it's a long story as to why all that stuff had been turned off recently. He had also had a recent hospital stay, had been there for a month, and he's a little bit of a recluse. Not many people, you know a lot about. I've never even met the man, and I've been in this neighborhood for 14 years. And so, You know, Bart assists, some other neighbors assist, they call an ambulance, he refuses to go to the hospital, but they get him stable and they get him back in his house. So he's not married, he doesn't have kids, and he is, I mean, this older man is like all by himself. So we're like, how do you make sure somebody like that is taken care of, but they don't refuse the help like mm-hmm. he did with the ambulance? Because I get it, like, you know, as we get older, there's some pride that comes in there that you still, like, you're capable, you're independent, you can do things yourself. For him, is mostly, I'm not a charity case. Mm-hmm. Like, stop treating me like a charity case. And I just want to thank the Burke Show listeners. I had so many people reach out with ideas as far as like Meals on Wheels, and there's also veteran services because he is a veteran as well. And they had some great ideas, and they were very thoughtful. And I love this one idea too, from a P1K, and I wanted to share, and I thought it was very clever. And she says, I suggest you and your neighbor start inviting the man to some neighborhood function so you can get to know him. He may not come, but let him know he's welcome. Also, let him think he's helping you. Find out what he knows a lot about and get him talking about it. Nice. What he did for a living, what are his hobbies, interests, where is he from? Ask him questions about things and pretend the answers will help you. Maybe there's a kid in the neighborhood who could, quote unquote, interview him about his former career. Mm-hmm. And she has an example of an uncle who was in the military, as was this gentleman. And she goes, I'm friends with somebody. She recently lost her husband and mom. Sometimes I ask her dog questions, even though I already know the answer. I tell her a friend is interested, and I ask her a lot, and she feels like, you know, she gives me the answers and feels like she's helping. So maybe if you can get him to open up a bit, he'll allow some of the neighbors to help him. Good luck and keep us posted. I listen every day, K, a P1. And so I got some really beautiful advice, and I just want you to know the neighbors are already on it, hitting up the aging agency that's here in the area. So we're going to make sure that he is taken care of.
The Burt Show.
If you listen to this show any amount of time at all, you have heard us talk about Cassie's string of bad luck over the course of not weeks, not months, years now. Years, right? She might have hit rock bottom, though, because now she's being ghosted by psychics.
Yeah, I hit rock bottom, and I kept digging, and I'm going to keep digging until I hit the bottoms of rocks of bottoms. You know, though, I did have my mystic Etsy witch so I had been reaching out to psychics, and they have been ghosting or not responding, and I reached out to energy healers and mediums and literally anyone you could think of within the vicinity, like a 50-mile radius. But I did have a listener who is also a witch. I say Etsy witch because it was a really cute term that I heard from Abby, but it's legitimate. She is a legitimate witch. She has a witch named Mystic, and she offered to do an energy spell, and she did just hit me back.
Oh, she did?
She did the energy ritual, which was crazy. She's like, the next morning, she's like, I finished your ritual last night. You might have felt a surge of energy, and I did.
No,
that
you
day,
shut
I legitimately,
up.
It was a rough day. It was a bad, bad culmination date. Like, it just felt like everything piling on, but I'm going to choose to look at it as it was like the last of the negative energy rushing. It was the day I like was screaming at the sky. I looked like a crazy woman because I was double birding at the sky in my backyard, screaming expletives at the sky, being like, what do you want from me? What have I done to you? I'm tired of this season of this reality show. Like, end it. So I felt that surge of energy, and there's still been ups and downs, but it's been pretty like even keel, knock on myself, ever since.
So what do they do? You reach out to her and you tell her what's going on, and then she does like a pre-game for you or something?
Well, so she listens, and so she's heard everything that's happened, and she did send me like a long email with everything that I'm trying to look through, but it's just been a little busy lately, which sounds ridiculous when you think about like the bad luck. Like, really, you're going to put that on the back burner? But life be life, and as Abby said earlier, mm-hmm. life be life. And but so there was like a ritual she did with candles and crystals and all this stuff, and set it up to really cleanse my energy. And she did ask my permission before she did it, which is why I'm like, you're legit.
Okay, so now I understand.
Psychic's got to get consent now.
Well, but yeah, because Cassie reached out to her. I thought she was putting a ritual together for you
to do. She reached out to me. So she heard I was looking for them because I came on air and I was like, no one will help me. So she reached out to me, but she performed the ritual.
That's what I was getting at. So instead of her like giving you step-by-steps of what you need to do, she got consent for herself, wherever she is located, to do the ritual on your behalf.
Yes, to mess with my, because it's messing with my energy fields and it's my life. So she's like, if you would like me to do it, I will do it. She wasn't like, do I have your consent? Or just, if you would like me to do it, I will do it for you, instead of just doing it out of the blue.
And she can toy with your energy fields when she's not in your energy?
Yes.
Huh?
Apparently she can. So her name is Christine. She did an energy shift ritual. She adapted it. If you want to know, she did a fourth black candle for banishment. It strengthens the removal of heavy energy and amplifies the overall shift. And then she used a bunch of like crystals, like obsidian and smoky quartz. And then she made a spell jar with eggshells for protective energy, obsidian, rose quartz, crushed bay leaf, which amplifies the banishment. And she sealed the jar with wax from candles to lock in the intention.
So now what's supposed to happen? You hit the lottery and all, or what? What goes on now?
No. We want nothing.
We want nothing. We're not going for good, even.
We want nothing bad to happen to our girl Cass anymore. If we could get some neutrality in this bee, that would be amazing.
That makes sense.
I'll take the lottery, but yes, I will take even as well. And she gave me some affirmations to do to anchor the energy, and she also like gave me some tips on saging and smudging. But here's a picture of my spell jar.
Okay.
Oh, it's so cute.
Isn't it cute? Yes, and so that has all the stuff in it to protect me and banish this energy, and I'm afraid to comment on anything, but, you know, so far it's just been Cassie buffoonery and not bad luck buffoonery.
Is that jar actually just the little zip-bound thing you've been taking?
Maybe that's why I feel so good.
All right, before we get into the entertainment buzz here, Kristen, we are desperate for diapers right now. How desperate are we this morning?
All right, we're not as desperate as we were yesterday, but we are still pretty desperate. All right, so Helping Mamas, the Baby Bank Supply of Georgia, is doing a massive diaper drive right now to fill the warehouse. They are in desperate need of diapers. Times are tough, and it's not just tough for people, but it's also tough for nonprofits, including Helping Mamas. So we have created the Burt Show team for this diaper drive to help them fill the warehouse. As of yesterday, we had 474 diapers. As of now, we have 3,420.
Okay. We're working our way up the mountain.
We are. However, we are climbing the Kilimanjaro of diapers because we are trying to collect 75,000 diapers, our team alone. That way the Burt Show members will go up on a billboard in diapers, holding babies in diapers, to raise awareness for diaper need and that it is real. So if you go to theburtshow.com, if you want to submit your baby for the billboard, you can do that. If you would like to buy a package of diapers, you can do that. We have a very lofty goal. Stephanie from Helping Mamas is emailing me every day with updates. If we can get to that 75,000 diaper mark, that would be so huge for our community.
I want to keep rattling off this statistic because it is so overwhelming and unbelievable.
It's jarring.
That 46% of families in the United States with young children experience diaper insecurity. 46%. So let's just round up to 50%. Half. That's staggering.
It is staggering. And I don't think people realize, unless, like, if you haven't had a kid, the amount of diapers they go through is just insane. So that's why, you know, we need a lot, because there's a lot of people who need them and you go through a lot.
All right. So where can they help out?
TheBurtShow.com.
Hey, The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
after his controversial comments on his show, Jimmy Kimmel Live, got him taken off the air. Jimmy Kimmel will be making a return to our televisions tonight. Kind of. So here's the backstory. If you haven't heard yet, Jimmy Kimmel made a couple of comments about the Charlie Kirk shooting that really upset some of the powers that be at the FCC and ABC, and they suspended him and his show. Well, now he'll be making a comeback. But for context, here is the comments that got him taken off the air.
We hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it. In between the finger pointing, there was grieving. On Friday, the White House flew the flags at half staff, which got some criticism. But on a human level, you can see how hard the president is taking this.
My condolences on the loss of your friend Charlie Kirk. May I ask, sir, personally, how are you holding up over the last day and a half, sir?
I think very good. And by the way, right there, you see all the trucks? They've just started construction of the new ballroom for the White House.
Yes. He's at the fourth stage of grief.
So the FCC then got dragged in when Chairman Brendan Carr blasted Kimmel, saying that his comments were, quote unquote, truly sick, and warning that ABC/Disney and their affiliate stations could face regulatory consequences up to the risk of losing their licenses if they didn't take action. So, of course, in response, they pulled Jimmy Kimmel off of the air. After that, big affiliate owners like Nexstar and Sinclair then pulled the show from their ABC stations. And then ABC had to do what they called, quote unquote, thoughtful conversations with Jimmy Kimmel and made the decision to return him back to the air September 23rd, which of course is today. But not all of the affiliate stations have agreed to this, including Sinclair and Nexstar.
So here's where the politics of the whole thing comes in. And for me, this is where it gets scary also, is that Nexstar and Sinclair are both up for mergers right now. In order to get your merger approved, that has to go through the FCC. So you got a lot of moving parts here, and this is what people are arguing about when it comes to freedom of speech and the government. There shouldn't be any kind of influence by the government on what you can say, and that's what the controversy is all about here. A lot of people are saying, like, hey, these licenses now are being threatened that they won't go through. The mergers won't go through if you don't do what the government is telling you and your message isn't congruent with the government. That's the big controversy of the whole thing.
For sure. And I understand the fear, but also if ABC has given you the green light, it kind of seems like you could just use ABC as the fall guy. Like, well, we're just doing what our network is telling us to do. If ABC is putting the program back on the air, then let's just go through with it. It does seem a little bit like it's leaning too far to one side to just be like, well, we're just not even going to approve the program to come back on the air.
Well, Sinclair and what's the other one?
Nexstar.
Nexstar. Those are the owners of the TV stations. It's very different than the actual network itself. So the network provides the show to the stations. The stations are now saying, do we really want to put him back on when we have this merger coming up and we got to get FCC approval? So you're talking about two different entities. I think a lot of people feel like the TV stations themselves are owned by Disney. That is not true.
For sure.
The Bird Show.
You may have heard of a little something called the Cold War, which happened back in the 40s, and it was a period of prolonged geopolitical tension and ideological conflict between the United States and the Soviet Union. And I would like to let you know that a similar thing is happening between me and the Publix down the street from me.
I was like, are we getting another gossip that I didn't know about?
See, if you're not watching CNN or Fox or the news, you might have missed this. It's been all over the place.
Yeah, I know.
Tell us about this Cold War.
After they stopped talking about Charlie Kirk, they're like, let's talk about Abby and her Publix. So I feel like I'm being personally victimized and targeted by spending too much money at my Publix, and I'm here to tell you why. So you guys will understand, because I spend 5 mornings a week with you, that I eat 2 to 3 Chobani yogurts every single morning to get 40 to 60 grams of protein before noon. And you probably wonder, her entire fridge is probably just Chobani, zero sugar, 20 gram yogurts, and you would be exactly correct. Every time I go to Publix, I go straight to the yogurt aisle and I buy out every single one of their mango and strawberry kiwi 20 gram zero sugar yogurts. And
you do house some yogurt, man.
Girl, I be housing those yogurts. And they're not doing much, but they're delicious and they have protein. And, you know, I feel like I'm getting my nutritional needs. So I have noticed over the last 3 months or so that every single time I go to the Publix yogurt aisle that I frequent, that the Chobani yogurts get a shelf higher about every few weeks or so. So a couple of months ago, they were right at eye level and I was able to just house them. I would grab my arm and I just go and they go straight into my cart. And then I noticed a couple months after that, they'd go a shelf higher and they'd be a little bit more difficult for me to reach because I don't know if you know this, I'm a short gal, I'm 5'3". And I'm like, whatever, they're probably just shifting things around. And I go, get a couple less yogurts because now they're a little bit tougher to reach. I can't quite get to that back corner where they're all hiding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm like, whatever. Couple weeks go by. The Chobanis go shelf higher.
Why do they keep leveling up?
Because I think they are upset with me for buying out all of their yogurts every time I go to Publix. Because when I tell you I buy them out every time I go, I spend a good $30 of yogurt or $30 on yogurt every time I go to Publix.
It's just the opposite. It's just the opposite. While you might be buying it, others are not. And that's why they're putting it out of eye reach.
No, because she buys all of them. So therefore, there's no reason for them to put them out of eye reach to make it.
Stop buying them all. There's tons of them because they always put the ones that sell best at, well, maybe your eye level is different than others' eye level. So they're raising it.
No, I'm single-handedly keeping that Publix in business. If I leave Atlanta for any reason, that Chastain Park Publix is going down.
First of all, you need a Costco subscription because they sell them in bulk in 20 packs at Costco. Secondly, Bert's right. They do put the stuff they really want you to buy at eye level. How tall are you?
5'3". But here's the thing. They're not at eye level right now unless you're 6'5". They're at the tippy top now.
So what I'm saying, though, is if they're hot sellers, they know you're going to get them. So they're trying to put new products in front of you at eye level for you to sample.
It's all a manipulation.
They're like, this girl's having too much aspartame. We need to get some natural sugars in this chick.
The Bert Show.